Okay, today we're on Bava Kama Daf Tes. This is Tzvi Hirshwan Reb. I'm substituting for Rabbi Yosef Grossman, who is not feeling well. And in turn, he is substituting for Rabbi Elephant, who is away in Eretz Yisrael. I understand that Rabbi Grossman left off yesterday on Daf Ches Amid Beis, about, looks like 8 or 9 lines from the bottom. Omar Abaya. The Gemara has gone off on a side issue, a very important issue, which can be thought of as the rights and privileges a person has over a property even after he sells that property to someone else. So in that general category, Abaya tells us the following halacha. Reuven shemochar sodeh l'shimon ba'achrayas. If Reuven sold a field to Shimon, Ba'achrayas means that Reuven guaranteed Shimon that if a Balchov would come and collect the field from Shimon, take it away from him, Reuven would owe him and pay him another field. So he sold it to Shimon with all guarantees intact. He also Balchov de Reuven v'toraf me Shimon. And along comes the Balchov, the person to whom Reuven owed money, and he wants to take the field away from Shimon. Shimon, of course, has no defense. He knows nothing about this loan at all. Reuven, of course, does. And Reuven wants the opportunity to confront the Balchov and to say, what do you mean? I paid you already. As Rashi points out, in the circumstances, even if this Balchov has a shtar that he lent money to Reuven, Reuven can still insist upon a shvua from the Balchov if indeed he says, Reuven says, Poraticho. So Reuven wants to deal with the Balchov himself. And the Balchov says, what do I want? What, I don't want to talk to you. I'm talking to Reuven. Reuven has the field. I have prior rights to the field. I don't even want to talk to you. I'm sorry. I want to talk to Shimon. Shimon now has the field. I don't want to talk to you, Reuven. So the halacha is no. Dinahu de ozel Reuven umishtoi dino bahade. The halacha is that Reuven, even though he's already sold this field, he can insist that he wants to confront the Balchov himself. Lomotzi omale lav baldvorim bidiat. And the Balchov cannot say to Reuven, I have nothing to do with you. I finished with you a long time ago. I'm after Shimon now. He has the field. The omale, the reason that Reuven can say, no, I insist I want to speak to my Balchov is because he can say to the Balchov, imafkis minei, if you take the field away from Shimon, the buyer, olai hodar, Shimon will come after me. After all, I gave him achrayas, meaning I promised I'll give him another field if this field is taken away from him. So therefore, eventually he'll come back to me, so I want to talk to you and contest the very fact that I owe you money. That's poshut, it would seem, in the situation where Reuven sold the field to Shimon Be'achrayas, where he stipulated to Shimon, if something happens and someone has a prior claim of the field and takes it away from you, you come back to me and we'll settle the matter. V'ikadamri, however, others say, Afilu shelo Be'achrayas nami, that even if Reuven sold the field to Shimon without Achrayas, Reuven said, look, I'm selling you the field, and you're taking your chances, so to speak. If someone comes after you and says he has a prior claim to the field, then you're on your own. Nevertheless, Reuven can say, I want to speak to the Balchov, the Omale, because he can say to the Balchov, I am a Baldvorim. You can't say that since I'm no longer the owner of the field, I sold it, and therefore I'm out of the picture. I'm still in the picture because lo nichali de tevi l'shimon taruma salai. I don't want Shimon to have tainus on me, to be upset with me, to be angry with me. I sold him a field, honestly, and in all fairness and everything, he's my good friend. Yes, we didn't stipulate legally achrayas. But if the field is taken away from him, he'll never speak to me again, he'll be angry at me. So therefore, I do have a stake in this field, even though I sold it, and therefore, I want to sit down with you, go to Bezdin with you, and we'll see if indeed you're owed the money. I claim you're not owed the money. So this is one of Abaya's statements. The Omar Abaya. Abaya said another similar statement. Now we're on the bottom of Daf Ches Amid Beis, coming on to today's Daf, which is Daf Tes. Yomar Abaya, Reuven Shemochar Soda L'Shimon Shalom Ba'achrayas. If Reuven sold the field to Shimon, Shalobach Rayas, Reuven did not give Shimon any guarantees. Here's the field, you're on your own. V'yotzu oleho asikin. And indeed, there are asikin, Rashi says asikin are oredim, people who say, Shalonuhi, that this field is ours. Reuven had no right to sell it to you, Shimon, it's our field. And they have some type of claim or proof, which has to be adjudicated. In the meantime, of course, Shimon would like to just get out of the whole deal. He thought he was buying a field free and clear. Meanwhile, there are other people who claim the field is theirs. He'd like to get out of the picture. So, the Gemara says, Abaya says, Ad shelo hechzik bo, yochol lachzer bo. If Shimon has not yet been machazik, has not, we'll see the definition of machazik in this context in a moment, but if he has not yet taken possession of this field actively, then he can still back out and leave it back to Reuven, let Reuven deal with these atzikin. Misha hichzik bo, however, once he has done a chazoka, he has taken physical possession of this land that he bought, ein yachol lachzer bo, he can no longer back out of the deal, and he's got a deal, Shimon's got a deal with these atzikin. My timer, why is it? Don't forget, this is a field that Reuven sold to Shimon, shelo ba'achrayas. So Shimon's on his own. The Omale, Reuven, the Mocher, can say to Shimon, Chaisa de Kitri Savris Vakiblis, that you saw a sack, Chaisa is a sack, de Kitri of nuts, a sack full of shmatas, that's what you saw of a Kabbalist, and you accepted it. Ben Chananel, not here on the margin, but the Shita Megubet says, brings up Ben Chananel who says that if a person sells a person a box, or a sack, or a node, a leather flask, and doesn't say whether there's wine in it, or water in it, or orange juice in it, and it turns out that all there is water. I sold you a blank item, you bought it, too bad. You bought something, you bought the field, you're stuck with it, even though you've got to now deal with these asikin. Chaisa de kitri, savris v'kablis. The question is, what is the chazoka that we're talking about here? What is the action that Shimon did, after which the whole deal is irrevocable? So the Gemara asks, Me'emas havoi chazoka? From what point on is there a chazoka? Mi'chidayish ha-mitzri. Various interpretations of chidayish ha-mitzri, and I make a big nafkamina la-halocha. But Tosfos says, as we'll see in a moment inside, when the buyer, in this case Shimon, goes for a walk around the gevulim, around the borders of the property, indicating that he's in possession of it, this is the chazoka. After that point, he can't change his mind. Bedavka, according to this Lashon, Bedavka shelo ba'achrayas, this is only true if Reuven sold the field to Shimon with no guarantees. Avol ba'achrayas, if he guaranteed that I'm selling you a field which is free and clear, the title is cleared, lo, then, in all cases, even after hichezik bo, it would seem that Shimon can say, I don't want to deal with these asikin, the deal is off. Now, there's a question here, of course, and that is, why do we look here for a definition, a new definition of what is the chazoka? Me'emos I have a chazoka. And we come up with a new definition of what chazoka is, mechidayish ha-mitzri. After all, we know from other mesechtes, Bava Metzia, Bava Basra, and later on this mesechta as well, that the kesef, sorry, that a field is nikne bekesef b'shtar b'chazoka. We learned this in Maseches Kedusha. And what is chazoka? Chazoka is noal godar uporatz. The person did some development on the land. He built a fence, he dug a hole, he dug a ditch. That's chazoka. What is this new chazoka of mechidayish ha-mitzri? This is one important question. There's another, and Tosfos asks this question. The other question is, what about the money? Normally, if you buy a field, you pay money for it. Is this a case where the Shimon has already given the money or not given the money? Now, Rashi says, in Elder Masechtas, Bavasiyah and Ksuvis, that this case here is a case where Shimon did not pay yet for it. If he paid for it, it's already farfallen. He can't back out. Let's just take a look briefly at the highlights of the Tosfos, the second Tosfos on the page, Misha Hichzik Bo Ein Yochel Lachzer. The Perakama de Bav Metzia Pirush Rashi Afal Gav Shelo Nosan Moos. The karka niknes b'chazaka. That this is a situation where he did not pay, but once he does the chazaka, once he's taken physical possession, he can't change his mind. Tosfos says, v'kosha amay nokat chazaka yosu mikesef ishtar. Chazaka is not a stronger kinyan of karka than kesef and shtar are. So if it's all dependent if there was a kinyan or not, we should look, did he pay him? Is there a shtar that was transferred? As well as chazaka, number one. V'yod, Maiko boy, me'evav shavach chazaka, why are we suddenly asking what is a chazaka? It's a mishnah in Bava Basra. No'al, poratz v'godar. A person makes a fence there, fixes a fence, builds a new fence, does something physically to the land to improve it, that's a chazaka. V'yod, Maiko boy, hochet fevim b'shaarducht, and v'yod, the da'yish ha'mitzvri mash matrisa b'yalma, shaholech sofif ha'mitzorim, taking a walk around the property. Just walking, that's a tiul, that's not a kinyan. So therefore, Tosfos answers, v'nira l'foresh d'mari shekano b'kinyan gomor, b'chlipin, or b'shtar, or b'chazoka, or rofak b'apurta. Here there has been a kinyan. Notice Tosfos leaves out kesef. There has been a kinyan, a bona fide kinyan, and the shimon has already been kona the field. However, interesting, the daito shalodom afal pisha kano b'kinyan gomor, im yotzu'u, im yetzu'u, eruren yochol lachzubo, kol zman shel ho'alach ha-mitzri ha-sodeh li'orchol aruch b'liros in yonei ha-sodeh. That even after a kinyan, there is not a total gemiras das, meaning the buyer has not completely decided to buy the property until he has a chance to kind of walk around it, inspect it, etc., even after the kinyan. Tremendous chiddush. Obviously, this Tosfos discussed at length, the other Rishonim, the Achronim, but I wanted to point out this issue to you. But to return to the Gemara, V'ika di'amri, others say, afilu bi'achrayes nami, that even if Reuven sold this field to Shimon bi'achrayes, as long as there's not been a chazoka, da'yish ha-mitzri, as long as he hasn't taken this wrong around the property, the Reuven can still say, I'm sorry. Even if he gave it to him b'achrayis, nevertheless, Reuven can say, I don't want to deal with the Yasik and you're stuck with it once there's been a chazaka. That's the mistake I made before, I'm sorry. Once there's been a chazaka, Reuven can say, you're on your own. You took it, you took possession, da'yish ha-mitzri, now you're on your own. Aye, these asikin are knocking down your door. Ach v'tirfoch v'ashalem loch. Show me that these asikim have a legitimate claim, then I'll pay you. But otherwise, you just have nudniks who are coming to bother you and calling you up and telling you it's their field, that's your problem, not my problem, because you already did your ma'asa chazoka. Afilu b'yachrayis. That's the end of this particular sugya, which deals with the issues of what rights a mocher has even after he sold the karka in certain ways. Now, according to Rashi at least, the Gemara returns all the way back to Daf Zayin, where the Gemara raised the question that we find the stira and psukim. One pasuk said, "B'meitav sodehu u'meitav karmo yishalem," and the other pasuk says, "Kesef yoshev lebolov." So the question is, does he pay money or does he pay a field, karka or kesef? And the Gemara, based on this stira, supposed stira in the psukim, launched into the whole discussion, which got us into another discussion, which got us into a third discussion. Now the Gemara goes back to that discussion, again following Rashi, and Rav Huna has a different approach to reconcile the stira. Do you got to pay karka, the best karka, or can you pay kesef, can you pay cash? And the Gemara says, Rav Huna Omar, O kesef, O meitav. The psukim are giving you two ways to pay. You can either pay the person money, or you can pay the person in karka. If you pay him in karka, it's got to be the best karka you've got. It's got to be meitav. It's got to be idis. That's Rav Huna's psak. Gemara now adds to this and says, Heisve Rav Nachman Rav Huna. Rav Nachman is Rav Huna. Yoshev, the posik of Yoshev is darshan to mean l'rabo shofar kesef. Afilu subin. You're telling me he's got to give one of two things. If he gives real estate, it's got to be idis, or else it's got to be kesef, it's got to be cash over la socher, it's got to be money, currency that's valid. And yet we know that shofar kesef, even subin, even bran, something which is almost worthless, unless you have a great quantity of it, is also okay. So you seem to be insisting only on kesef. The guy's got no karka. He got no cash. All he's got is a junkyard full of subin. So he has nothing else. So he can give the nizik subin and say, I'm paying you off in the form of all this junk that I have. All right. Gemara asks, look, idelesle, pshita, if he has nothing else to pay him, so it's poshut. He has no field. He has no cash. What can you do? The nizik is stuck. Gemara says, no. Mao de tamar minun le zil terach zavin. The icy like kesef, I might think that we would say, on behalf of the nizik, we would say to the mazik, all you have is cash, you sell, all you have is junk, you sell the junk, you raise the cash, but you gotta give the nizik cash, why should he bother finding place to sell all this junk, where he can sell all this subin? However, kamash malon, the chiddush is no. Yoshev, the rabbos shover kesef, afilu subin, and in the situation of bedelesle, he can give him subin, and he doesn't have to be matriach himself, it's a nizik's problem. So basically, Rav Huna is saying, when the Pasuk says kesef, it means either karka idis or kesef, and in a situation of bedelesle, then and only then can we resort to shover kesef. Otherwise, the mazik can't decide on his own, you know, I'd rather give him shover kesef rather than kesef. Malva got to give kesef, but he has no kesef, it's different. Now here too, interesting Tosis, because Tosis is going to give a summary. There are various situations in which I can owe another person money. I borrowed money, I have to pay him back. In this case, I'm a mazik. I could be a ganev and I have to pay him back. When do we say you got to pay back kesef? When do you say you got to pay back karka? When do we say that I can give you shover kesef even if I have kesef? When do we say only but the less late kesef going to give shover kesef? So Tosef is going to give a roundup here of some of the high points of those halachos. If you look in the Tosef's Rafuna Omar, O Kesef O Meitav, we'll skip the first question and go down to Uposak Rav Popach Rafuna Bered Rav Yeshua Shehem Basroi Rabbeinu Tam Enes Over Kein Demefore Sheyesh Gimel Dine Ben Nezokin. This is Rabbeinu Tam's rule. There are three dinim when it comes to Nezokin. O Kesef, O Meitav, the ilesle afilu subin. That's what arises from our Gemara. By nizokin, either cash or a soda, meitav, or only by the lesle can you give subin a shover kesef. However, ubal chov, I isle zuze lo motzi lesalko ele bezuze. If I owe someone money, I've got to pay him back in money. I can't give him karka if he doesn't want karka. I must pay him back in cash. Kedemukach baha kosef, as we saw in the Gemara in Ksuvis, Gabihahu tole b'osav b'nochwi hava ve'iles le'zuzi lo yoma le'zil trachu zvin v'aisi zuzi k'diyomar hosom. That's in the case of a balchov, that if he has zuzi, he's got to pay in zuzi. If he doesn't have zuzi, then yes, shava kesef there too. However, v'lo keach, suppose I buy something from you, and it turns out that it's a mekach tos, the chveis, it doesn't work, whatever you sent me. It was broken, l'chatchila. So I get my money back. So you want to give me, instead of my money back, you want to give me shover kesef. So Tosfos says, Lokeach shenimtza mekcho mekachtos kamo kein dino. His din is like a balchov. You've got to pay him cash if you have cash. Kedamrinu kamo perakapora. Upoil, what about when you pay a worker? Then, iles le lebal habayis zuzei, oma le zil trachu zvin v'aisi zuzei. A poil is different. A worker, worker's rights. A worker can say, I don't want this junk, I want cash. I worked for you an honest day's work, I want dollars, I don't want subin. And he can say to the employer, you go and sell the subin on the market and give me cash. The employer can't say, you did a job for me. You know, keep the handiwork that you worked on. I'm not going to pay you cash. No, a worker has to be paid in cash up front. There's no alternative. So this Tosfos summarizes a whole Torah of the situations under which, circumstances under which you can or cannot substitute shover kesef for kesef. The Gemara continues Omer Ravasi, Kesofim Harehen Kekarka. Ravasi comes along and says, money is as good as karka. Gemara says, Lamai Hilchasa. What is he teaching us that we don't know already? Ilay Melinyan Metav, if he's teaching us what we already know about Metav Sodeyu, that the choice is when you pay an Izik to pay him either the best karka or kesef, I know the Rav Huna. That's what we just learned from Rav Huna. As Rashi says, so it should say, V'chein Omer Ravasi. He's not saying anything new. Ella, it's that following situation. L'shnei achim shechoku. You have two brothers who split their father's estate. V'notal echot karka, v'echot kesofim. One took $10,000 worth of real estate, and the other took $10,000 worth of cash, and that presumably is the whole estate, $20,000 total, $10,000 karka, $10,000 cash. They split it willingly. Ubo balchov v'notal karka. Their father had owed someone money. He had a balchov. Now the balchov comes and takes away the karka. Remember, metaltli diyasmi, I'm not mishtabed lebalchov. The balchov has no access, no recourse to the kish. He only has recourse to the karka. Alpidina de Gemara. So the balchov came and took away the karka. So now the brother who took the karka, of course, comes to the brother who took the kesef and says, okay, let's split the 10,000 kesef, 50-50, five for me, five for you. So the halacha is, da'azal hai v'shogil palga b'dechosim b'hadeh. The brother who took the karka, now lost it all, can go to the brother who took the money and split it half 50-50. So that's what Ravasi is teaching us. Kesofim arein kekarka. The Gemara says, pshita, that's obvious. Hai b'ro v'hai lav b'ro. One brother is a son, the other brother is not a son. They're both sons, and they're both responsible to pay their father's debt. So the karka really came from both of them, and all that's left is kesef, they split the kesef. That's one svara, one way of looking at it, is of course they split the kesef after the balchov took away the karka. There's an ikadamri, there's another opinion, it says just the opposite. The svara, the stam svara, is just the opposite, that the brother with the karka, who took the karka, is too bad. He's out, and he has no claim on the other brother's kesef. Adarabah, the idoch gisa, just the opposite. The omalei, the brother who took the money can say, we split. You took all the real estate. I took all the cash. Why did we split that way? For a reason. Lahochi shakli ksof, and the reason why I took all the cash is I carry a risk by taking cash. The risk is you can steal cash. The imignivi, that if they steal all the cash from me, lo mishtal am naminoch, I'm not going to come to you and say I want half of your karka. That's why I took the kesef, I took a risk. And the reason why you took karka, you took a risk. Ulohachi shaklis ara, the imitrifa, if the ara of the land is collected, taken away from you, lo mishtal maloch midi minoy, you can't get anything from me. So the understanding on the basis of which we split, you all the karka, me all the kesef, is that you take all the risks of the karka, I take all the risks of the kesef, and you're out, you get nothing. So therefore, this hechetimtza, won't fit according to Ravasi. On the one hand, it's looking at one point of view, it's pshita. Looking at the other point of view, it's not even true that karka and ksofim are equal. So we have to look for another case in which Ravasi is teaching us something new, something other than that which Rav Huna taught us. Ella, and it's the following case: L'shnei achim shecholku. You have two brothers who split. Not he takes all the karka and he takes all the kesef. But rather they split everything halfway. Ubo balchov and notal chelko shel echod mehem. So one of them had karka and kesef, the other one had karka and kesef. The balchov came and took the karka of one of them, not of the other. So in such a case, Ravasi is saying, echod karka, echod ksofim, that the brother who lost his karka can go to the other brother and say, give me a piece of your karka, or give me kesef, to make up for what was taken away from me by the balchov. And that's what Ravasi is saying. So the Gemara says, that's what Ravasi is saying. Ravasi told us this once in a very important machlokas, where Ravasi is the third bar plukta, the third spokesperson in a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. And Ravasi took an independent position, different than Rav and different from Shmuel. So why does he have to tell us it again here? The Itmer, because we learn. Ha'achim shechoku, this very case, two brothers split the total estate of the father. Ubo balchov, the balchov went, v'notal chelko shel echad mehem, he took away the karka from one of the brothers. Tosfos discusses, why did he go to this brother, not to the other brother? Was there an apotiki or not? We won't go into that. We'll try to keep it simple because the Gemara itself has a complex sfara that we're about to come to. And that is, the question, the eker question to us now is, can the brother from whom the Baal Chov took the karka go to the other brother and collect karka or kesef? Rav Asi is saying yes. However, Rav Omar, botla machlokes. Rav says that the machlokes, meaning the division of the estate, is botel, and they have a new division. In other words, one brother lost all this karka. That karka is gone. Now you take the estate and you divvy it up again. Half for one brother, half from the other brother, and the brother does not lose the karka that was taken from him from Malchov. Botla machlokes. Ushmuel Omar viter. Shmuel says he has forfeited it. Meaning the brother from whom the Baal Chov took the karka is out that karka. The other brother keeps his half of the estate, and the brother who's out the karka is could be left with nothing. Viter. Viter means ovad, Rashi says. Lost, gone, fallen. For Rav Asi Omar, Rav Asi comes with a third opinion. And that is, notel revia bekarka urevia bemo'ov. So Rashi here has two pshatim. One pshat is, notel revia bekarka o revia bemo. Sometimes a vav doesn't mean and, but it means or. Rashi gives a famous example from Yevamos, cholatz, v'yosob a mamar, v'nosan boget. Doesn't mean he gave a chlitza and a mamar and a get. It means he did one of the three. Cholatz, o yosob a mamar, o nosan boget. So here too, Rashi says in Rashi's first pshat that Rav Asi is saying that since this, there is here an argument between the two brothers, and the argument is over the brother who lost the Baal Chov's half, so you take that half and split it in half, because it's Mamon HaMutal B'Sofek, and we don't paskin, but we follow in this argument like Sumchis, who holds Mamon HaMutal B'Sofek Cholkin, and that's why you split the half into two halves, a revia, and the brother who's out the karka can get either a quarter of a share from the karka or a quarter of the share from Mo'os. That's revia b'karka o revia b'Mo'os. That's one pshat in Rashi. Rashi offers another pshat. If you look in the Rashi, six lines from the bottom or so, Rashi says, Loshon Acher, another Loshon is, Urevia b'mos mamush, levad revia b'karka. The brother who lost his karka to the Baal Chov can collect from the other brother a full 50% of the estate, half of that 50%, a quarter in the form of karka, and the form in the quarter of mos. V'hainu harehen kakarka. That's why he means, kesofim harehen kakarka. Because misafkale, he's going to have a suffix, which we'll see what the suffix is in a moment. Let's learn another line too in the Gemara, and the suffix will become clear. First of all, the Gemara explains Rav Omar Botla Machlokas. Rav says that Botla Machlokas means whatever was given to the Baal Chov is gone, and now they have a new division of whatever is left. And each one gets a new division 50-50. Because so far Rav holds, Ho'achim Shecholku Kiyorshim Havu. We know this Machlokas, we've had it many times. Whether Achim Shechoku are like Yorshim, or they're like Lekuchos. Meaning, is there a new halacha that when two brothers divide an estate, it's not pshat that each one sold his half to the other one. That's how they reconciled the problem of dividing up an estate. But rather, each one took the half that, so to speak, was predestined as a Yerusha for him, Yesh Breira. And therefore here, where it was obvious now that some of the estate belonged to a Baal Chov, wasn't even part of the Yerusha. So now they're Yoshim from the beginning, and they have to split 50-50 what's left. So holds Rav. Ushmuel Omar Viter. Shmuel says the brother who gave up his karka to the Baal Chov has forfeited everything. Kosavar Hoachim Shel Kochu Lekuchos Ubelokeach Shalob Ukelokeach Shalob Achrayus Tomi. That they're not only Lekuchos, not only when I and my brother split up daddy's estate, and I take this 50%, you take this 50%, do we conceptualize that as if we traded things with each other, we're now lekuchos, I bought from you, and you bought from me. And furthermore, it's lokeya shaloba achrayas dummy, what you took is without achrayas from me, what I took is without achrayas from you. And therefore, the brother who's out the karka is out the karka, because he is a lokeach shelo ba'achrayus, so he gets nothing. But Avasi Omer, no tel revia bekarka u'revia b'mos. Again, following Rashi's first pshat, this means he only takes 25% of the contested 50%, either in the form of karka or in the form of mos. Or in Rashi's second pshat, he takes a full 50%, half, 25% of the total in the form of karka, 25% in the form of mos, because misafkale, Avasi doesn't know. Iki yoshim damu, ikala kuchos damu, hilkach no til revia bekaka revia b'mamos, because of the principle, according to the first pshat in Rashi, of mamon hamutal besofek cholkim. According to the second pshat in Rashi, and let's return to where we left off in the Rashi, you have a beautiful lumdus here. Misafkale, Rav Asi is in doubt, iki yoshim damu v'chayev lahachzi lo machatzis chelko karka. If he's like Yorshin, lo yochel esalko b'mos. The brother who was not affected by the balchov cannot say, take cash and get off my back. Rather, the other brother could say, I want karka. We're Yorshin, we take the karka and split it 50-50. No siluk, you can't just get rid of me by giving me money. I don't want money, I want a piece of the homestead. Or do we say, Ravasi Safek, kulukuchos damu. But, not lukuchos shelo b'achrayas. Umiyu kulukeyat b'achrayas dami. In which case, v'chayav lahachzlo machzis mashi'ibid, the brother who was not affected by the balchov has to give the brother who was affected by the balchov half of what he lost, but l'kuchos, I can give it him in the form of kish. Av b'mos yochol salko. Hilkoch, yachzir revia b'kaka, ki yoshim, u'revia b'mamos, k'mocha b'achrayas, v'loshan rishon shomati, this usually means Rashi prefers, for various reasons, the first loshan. Just want to point to you, and perhaps since we are running out of time, I'm not accustomed to giving a 45-minute shiur, but an hour shiur. So I don't want to finish the daf. So I just wanted to point out to you the last Tosfos on the page, because Tosfos is wondering, what do you mean, according to Rashi's first pshat, revia bekarka or revia b'mos, that since they're arguing over the half of the property, so a quarter stays with the brother, and the quarter goes back to the brother who lost money to the balchov, because you split the difference. Mamon hamutal b'sofek cholka. Don't we say a principle of motzi mechaver all of haraya? After all, and it's a machlokas in the Gemara. Sumchis holds mamon hamutal b'sofek cholkin, but we don't hold that way. We hold hamotzi mechaver ol haraya. The Tosfos says lo shayach be hamotzi mechaver ol haraya. Here it's not shayach motzi mechaver ol haraya. Why? Interesting question. There's a Tosfos elsewhere. Maseches Kruvos, Maseches Bechoros, that say that here, when do we say hamotzi mechaver ol haraya? And not mamon hamutal b'sofek cholkin, when there's a machlokes in the betzius. Here there's a machlokes in the din. Is it, do we paskin yorshin, or do we paskin lekuchos? In such a situation, we do not say hamotzi mechaver ol haraya, because a muchzuk is not a true muchzuk. The muchzuk is only a muchzuk according to one man de yamar, and the machlokes lekuchos or yorshin. In such a situation, we don't say hamotzi mechaver ol haraya, and obviously, that's a big, as they say, there's a lot of raid on that Tosfos. But here, Tosfos chooses not to get involved in it, so we'll just leave it at that and continue in the Gemara a little further. Ella, my harehen kakaka. So now, we have this Gemara too, where we have a case, but if this is what Rav Asi is teaching us, o kesofim o karka, or Kesafim Arei and Kekarka, Rav Asi taught us this already in the Machlokas, Rav and Shmuel Rav Asi. So why is Rav Asi adding here when he says Kesafim Arei and Kekarka? Ella, my Arei and Kekarka l'inyan meitav, that you have a choice. You can give karka, but it's got to be meitav, or you can give kesef. And that's what Rav Asi is teaching us. Hochi hainu de Rav Huna. We're back to the first question. What is Rav Asi adding that Rav Huna didn't say? The Gemara answers, Ema v'chein amar Rav Asi. Just put in the words, v'chein amar Rav Asi. Rav Asi is indeed teaching us nothing more than what Rav Huna already taught us, that you can pay a nizik either cash or meitav sadeh. Since we're talking about their percentages, a half, a quarter, or this, so the Gemara goes off on a little bit of a tangent, a fascinating few lines of Gemara, to lighten things up a little bit. Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Rav Huna, b'mitzvah ad shalish. When it comes to spending money on a mitzvah, you're only required to pay for that mitzvah up until a third. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? What are you talking about? My shlish. What are you talking about? A third. You have to pay a third for a mitzvah. Ilema shlish beso. If it means you got to pay a third of all your property. You own $30,000. And you have three mitzvahs, and each one costs $10,000. The high price of esrogim went up to the top. So you got to pay it all and spend everything. Can't be, says the Gemara. Lemayato yisrami leitlosa mitzvosa. If a person has three mitzvahs in front of him, he's got an esrik to buy, and tefillin to buy, and sefer Torah to buy. He's going to go broke. Leisiv lekula beisei. We're going to say he has to spend everything. Bitmia. Ela amar avzeira behidur mitzvah atshlish. When it comes to spending extra to get a plain esrig or to get an extra that's a hidur mitzvah esrig, then you got to be willing to spend a third more. Hidur mitzvah atchlish per mitzvah. Before we go further in the Gemara, Tosfos points out from here that we see that a person does not have to spend all of his money on a mitzvah if he can't afford to. Even a mitzvah overis, even a mitzvah like esrig, that if you don't do it, you're not going to be able to do it when you become rich. It's going to be already after sukkahs, till before the stock market goes back up. So, and not only that, then you don't have to spend all your money, but it seems you only have to spend a third of your money. What's going on here? So Tosfos says, "Ilei mishlish beisa mashma, the ain sorach levazves kol mamono liknos esrog, afilu lo yimtzu bepochos." For have your mitzvah overis. Nevertheless, you don't have to spend all your money. I'm going to go broke. For yafilu shlish beisel mashmad lo mechayiv. Even the third, it's mashmad from our Gemara, you're not obligated. And we even say in the Gemara in Ksuvis, ha-mevazvez al-yivazvez yosem mechomesh. You don't even have to pay more than a fifth, more than 20%. And the sukkah, choshev le rabusa, the rabban gliel shekona esrig elef zuz. So you see, you don't have to spend all your money on a mitzvah. How much do you have to spend on a mitzvah, in this case a mitzvah overis, etc.? Now again, this is a long discussion. I just want to quote that the Rashba says here, and all the Mefarshim take off on this Rashba. The Rashba says, quote, Shelo omru elo b'mitzvahs aseh, b'shevi al tasa. When do you say you don't have to spend all of your money, or even a third of your money, or maybe even a fifth of your money? That's only on a mitzvah where you'll do a shevi al tasa. You won't put on tefillin. You won't do the esrig. But to avoid being doing an avera, you have to pay money. Then you got to spend all your money. I feel a kol mamono. The Rashba says you got to pay to avoid doing a mitzvah lo sase. Rabbi Kivega in his Agos and the Gilyon on your day brings a machlokes achronim. I think it's the Chavos Yor and the Rivosh. Whether when the Rishonim said, the Rashba here says that you don't have to spend, you do have to spend all your money to avoid doing a lo saseh, is this a lo saseh kim vaseh, or even a lo saseh shevi al tase? There's various lo saseh that you're over shevi al tase, lo you're over chachomets, whatever. There's also veros that you're over kum vaseh, achilas nevelas atreifas, etc. To avoid being oichel nevelas atreifas, do you have to spend all your fortune or not? This is a machlokas achronim as well. The Gemara continues with a shaila. Boy Rav Ashi, shlish milagav o shlish milavar. When we say he's got to spend at shlish b'mitzvah, is this a shlish milagav from inside? Meaning Rashi gives the example. If Rashi gives the example, costs $6. As opposed to how much do you have to spend for the better one? You have to spend milagav, which means a third of six, which is two. So you have to spend a total of six plus two, which is eight. Or do you have to spend milavar, meaning nine? That's meaning a third of the total. Six plus a third is nine. So the third is milavar. Which is it? And the Gemara ends with a teku. You don't know what. Now this is halacha lemaisa, shlish milagav or shlish milavar. What do you do in the case of a teku? So the Rosh Paskins here, it's a suffix the rabbonon lekula. And all the achronim point out that obviously the Rosh holds that hidur mitzvah, at least this type of hidur mitzvah, there might be other types of hidur mitzvah, but this type of hidur mitzvah is only a derabbonon. Others disagree, but that's what it seems from the Rosh. I saw in the Sefer Rishimos of Rav Soloveitchik Shiurim from Rabbi Reichman, so he has an interesting thing. There's a famous Briske Chakira. What is hidur mitzvah? Is hidur mitzvah a din in the mitzvah? or is Hidur mitzvah the Hidur? In other words, the mitzvah the Hidur? The Hidur is a keli vanveyu. Or is it in the mitzvah? Rav Soloveitchik wants to say that this could be the shaila here, shlish milagav or shlish milavar. Very beautiful. If it's shlish milavar, so you're spending the extra shlish on the kiyum ha-mitzvah. So you see that hidur is a din in the kiyum ha-mitzvah, not a din in kiyum ha-hidur. If ever it's milagav, it's only a din in the hidur, not a din in the kiyum ha-mitzvah. I hope I said it over right. That's how I understood it. But my rova amri mishmed Rav Zeira in Eretz Yisrael, they said over the name of Rav Zeira, Achlish Mishalo. The first third that you pay for Hidur Mitzvah, you pay, Rashi says, out of your own money. Don't expect to get it back in this world. Mikan Voelech Mishalach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if you spend more than a third, then Rashi says, Masha Yosef Behidur Yosef Achlish, Yifrala HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'chayov. It'll be Keren Kayemes. You'll get Tzchar Ba'olam Hazeh. Tosfos says, Oichol Peres Ba'olam Hazeh. Veha Keren Kayemes Olam Haba. Gemara continues, Kol Shechafti Bishmiroso, new Mishnah. Kol Shechafti Bishmiroso, if I am a chuyov in the Shmira, if I am responsible to watch this mammon, this animal, or this fire, this boar, whatever, then Hechsharti Es Nisko, I have prepared its Nezek. Meaning, if I am negligent in the Shmira, I am the one who's to blame for the Nezek. As you know, maybe if I look at Elephant and Bergrosser mentioned it, there's this yeshiva shechakira. Why is a person chayav and nezokin? Is he chayav because he has failed to do shmira, or is chayav because of his responsibility for what he's done? So it would seem from the Pashat Lashon of this Mishnah that it's your failure to do shmira properly that makes you responsible for the nezek. I see that we're running out of time. We'll just try to finish the Mishnah and continue immediately after the Mishnah tomorrow. Hichsharti b'miktzas nisko, in a situation where I am responsible only for partial nezek, meaning I only did part of the negligence, but had I not done my part, the damage wouldn't have happened. So in such a case, hichsharti b'miktzas nisko, nevertheless, chafti b'teshlume nisko ke'ech shekol nisko. The nezek wouldn't have happened if not for my partial negligence. So therefore, even for a partial negligence, I'm chayav b'nezek sholem. We'll see the Gemara, the examples of this. I'm only chayav if I do damage to nechosim she'ein bohem me'ila, if I do damage to nechosim of a hedyot, if I do damage to hekdish, then we say shor yehu amarachmona v'lo shor shel hekdish, nechosim she'ein shel b'nei bris, and similarly, I'm only chayav if I do damage to the nechosim of a Jewish person. I'm not mechuyah for the damage that I do to a non-Jewish person, again, because shor yehu amarachmona v'lo shor shel akum. And the chosim ha-miyuchodim, the chosim which have an owner, but I'm not chayiv for the chosim that are hefka that I do damage to, and the Gemara will discuss that. U'b'chol mokom, I'm chayiv for damages which I do anywhere, reshus ha-rabim, reshus ha-yochid, chutz mireshus ha-miyuched es lemazik. I'm not chayiv for damages that I do in my reshus. If your shor comes walking into my farm and gets hurt somehow, that's not my problem. I can say to you, Torcho Bishusi, my boy, what's your shor doing on my property? Urishus hanizik v'hamazik. This is a special case which the Gemara will discuss, that in certain situations where there's a partnership, the nizik and the mazik own a chotzer in partnership, in shutfis, the mazik is exempt from nizokin. Again, we'll see the details as we go further. Kishehizik chav hamazik l'shalem tashlume nezek b'meitav ha'oretz. This Rashi reminds us, as about at the very beginning of the Masechta, this Lashon of the Mishnah, which is the same as the Lashon of the previous Mishnah, but it's repeated here to bring in Keren, according to the Mandiyama, who says that Shor is not Keren, but Shor is Regel. So we'll stop here, and we'll continue Mitzvah Hashem tomorrow.